Hey listeners, it's Alex, and I have a special event that I want to share with you all. Our podcast focuses on video games, but it's also an extension of our lives, including special moments in our lives, as well as the people who are important to us. We appreciate the opportunity to share our thoughts on hot topics in the video game industry, but I'm honored to share an amazing and empowering event that is very near and dear to my heart. My friend Avalon is a sexual assault survivor and the founder of Derby City Consent, a group that aims to raise sexual assault awareness, create a culture of consent, educate people on the forms of consent, and help survivors heal from traumatic experiences. Derby City Consent came to life in April during Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and since then, Avalon has worked very hard to build Derby City Consent into, in her words, an ever-growing network of support. She has done an amazing job, and we are all so very proud of her. On September 16th at Gallery K, which is located on Barrett Avenue in Louisville, Avalon will be hosting an art gallery for the Survivor Modeling Project titled This Is My Body, which features photographs of sexual assault survivors who have stepped forward to reclaim their bodies and speak out against a pervasive problem in our country. Avalon will be selling magazine copies of the project, with all profits going to the Center for Women and Families, which is home to Kentucky's first rape crisis center. This is a wonderful event, and if you live in Louisville or a surrounding county, I hope that you will come to Gallery K on September 16th. The event will start at 4:45 p.m. and end at 10 p.m. Derby City Consent has a Facebook page, which has news on the latest gatherings and events. If you want to help or volunteer, please contact me via email at raisehavoc1@gmail.com. That's raisehavoc1@gmail.com. I've often told Avalon that she's a superhero, and while she doesn't believe me, I still believe the word hero is appropriate.
This episode is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed sit-and-go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. On the scene, with something mean it's supposed to be. You believe, but I told that beats are awesome and that down it be amazing. But enough about me, yes we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been canned a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Any mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold.
Trophy whore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 272. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, the man, the myth, the legend, Alex.
Ooh, I get to play this part now. Yay.
Also with us is not Yield. Yield has decided to take the week off. But introducing the official, making his Trophy Horrors debut as an official member of the show, Mark.
And you did. Does this mean now there's no more polls every week, like involving me? Like, because, you know, you're always voting no Mark, no Lucia at all. And now I'm here. And you're
actually,
me.
If you look in those polls, I actually never voted.
No, so, okay, so here's the thing. The next poll will have to be, what do we call Lucia consistently on the show? Is it Mark? Is it Ion Vane? Is it Lucia?
How about Dumbass?
You have the power to decide. You
know, how about we call him?
And Tricky, how about you say what, you know, why Yield is really missing this show, and that's he's preparing for the next losing Bengals season.
Yes.
The next season that they don't win the Super Bowl championship,
but
another one.
But I have a good name for Lucia. We can call him the Wrestling Smark. Because also on the show, and we've been telling you guys for several weeks, is our newest podcast, both members of the show, the Smart Marks. First, we have Jeremy.
Hello, hello.
And we have Matt.
Yo, what's up?
I'm going to stop this show in its tracks right now, and I'm going to say this. Jeremy and Matt, I'm going to judge you all on how much you all love American Alpha. Are you all ready, willing, and gable?
Of course we're ready, willing, and gable.
All
sure,
right,
why
continue,
not?
We can continue
the
show.
I only heard one person, and the other person go, sure, why not?
I'm going to need a little bit more enthusiasm for American Alpha.
Oh, yeah, we're ready for American Alpha.
All right, now this show's ready to get started.
Okay,
there we go.
Well,
before
we actually get the show started, and we allow the Smart Marks to actually formally introduce themselves, we do have two bits of sad news to discuss. First, prior to recording the show, checking Facebook, we learned that a dear member of the WWE family has passed away. Mr. Fuji passed away at the age of 81 years old.
Mr. Fuji, as you may remember, is the manager of both the Powers of Pain and Yokozuna.
Yep.
Yep.
As well as the Orient Express, Sato and Tanaka.
Good times.
God, we're right at home.
Yeah, you're not far. You got some wrestling fans on.
I get to make a lot of wrestling references now, this podcast, and it won't feel weird.
Yeah. It's like an opportunity for you to vent. Just let the wrestling floodgates out.
It's like one of those opportunities, like you when you talk about video games at like work or something like that, people look at you weird, but you come now make video game references on this show, people know what the hell you're talking about. When you make a wrestling reference, you can call somebody a mark or a smark or say they took a bump and we actually know what the hell you're saying.
A lot of people at work know that I podcast about video games, so when I talk about video games, and actually a lot of people, you know, come up and talk to me about video games, it's not actually that weird. It's kind of commonplace.
Well, you're also 12 years old, so.
I'm actually turning 32 this year, thanks, Dick, and at least I'm not 86 like you.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm
like really young right now, man. I turned 30 this year or something. Like, oh, man.
Hey, Tricky, I hear there's a sale on the Depends diapers, adult diapers at Walmart this week.
I already hit it up. Always had to poop your pants. All right, and the other bit of sad news is you may be noticing that you have not hearing a voice on the podcast. If you have not seen the Facebook post and the Twitter post and all that other stuff, yes, Donnie has officially left the show. He has decided to leave the show on his own accord. To do his own thing. It's kind of tough to talk about. There was a disagreement between myself and him, in which he felt like I was not fully supporting him, and he decided to use a wrestling term, pick up his ball and go home. So, Donnie will no longer be on the show. Unfortunately, he may make guest appearances, but who knows what the future holds. With that being said, as you heard,
it's important to say that he will still do whatever talk, and you know, when we find out what he's doing with that, we'll be sure to let you all know.
Oh, absolutely. And as you have heard, I said that Mark is officially a member of the show. He will be taking Donnie's spot from here on into the future. Okay, now with all the sad news, let's actually talk to Jeremy and Matt for a minute. You guys do a wrestling podcast. You guys are well established. You're 147 episodes in right now?
148, just passed.
148. Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know wrestling, you guys call yourself the Smart Marks. Now, that is a wrestling term for a wrestling fan, but some wrestling fans may not know that term. What is the difference between a mark and a smark?
Well, if they don't know, then I just don't associate with them altogether. So that's the problem.
Well,
there.
I mean, here's the thing. If you don't know, your ass better call somebody, right?
All the references.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of wrestler references in this show.
This will be a good show.
No, just, you know... It just the general understanding that Mark being, you know, someone who buys into what's going on. The smart Mark being like they know what's going on. You know, we get the story. You know, most of the crowd now, I mean, most fans now are pretty much smart Marks. So it's just a term that we decided to use, and it's, you know, yeah, it has bitten us in the ass a few times, but you know, it's a term that we like to use.
You know, I would exclude anyone who expects the WWE to do anything smart with the Wyatt family from that group of people.
Oh, yeah, we stopped expecting that a long time ago.
It's also worth noting that you guys actually may know the Smart Mark's name prior to Proven Gamer and whatnot, because you guys actually had a listener of the show of your show that went to TakeOver Brooklyn 2, went to SummerSlam, and went to Raw, and held up a sign with you guys' logo on it, and it was appeared on TV all three nights.
And also WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, also WrestleMania
the night after too. Yeah.
So you may have actually seen the logo for these guys and not even realize who they are. So it's a pleasure to have you guys on the show. And
thank you.
Hopefully through this episode of Trophy Horrors, our fans will come to know you and come to love you, and they will go check out your show. And, you know, I first want to say welcome to the Proving Gamer family. And let's talk about some PlayStation stuff. How about that, guys?
Sounds great. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the family. Aww. I've just been a guest here the whole time. No.
Well, see, you're kind of like the uncle that nobody really talks about that just keeps raiding our fridge. So,
wow, you know I eat healthy and clean, and I go to the gym.
I didn't say you were taking junk food.
I don't raid.
I just said you're raiding the fridge.
I would never raid a refrigerator.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do as we do every week and start you with our updated trophy count. I am level 30, total trophies of 7,383, and a plaque count of 63. Alex?
I am level 28, total trophy count of 5,714, and I have 81 platinums in 80 games. I got a new platinum this past week.
Oh, what's your new platinum?
Lego Batman 3, Beyond Gotham.
You finally got through it, huh?
You brave little toaster.
Yeah, it was kind of miserable, but I did it.
Yield is level 23, total trophies of 4,206, with a plaque count of 59. Mark?
I am still level 26, with a total trophy count of 6,319, with a platinum count of 26 platinums right now.
Alright, Matt?
I'm a level 8 with a trophy count of 497 and a platinum count of 0.
And Jeremy?
I'm a level 10 with a trophy count of 689 and a platinum count of 0.
Okay, now, gentlemen.
Yeah, we are terrible.
Yeah, well listen, I got good news for you. I don't know how many episodes you guys have listened of Trophy Whores, but you guys are actually not the worst ever to appear on the show.
Thank God.
We've actually had a game developer who we had on the show that actually has a negative one trophy count.
How many times the ghost of Jeff Hanna will never leave this show? They will mention Jeff Hanna forever.
That is amazing.
Well, okay, yes, we're talking about Jeff Hanna, but it's actually worth noting that our good friend of the show, Jeff Hanna, he's actually right now racing in race cars. I've been following him on Facebook. He's actually doing, I guess, an endurance race with three other teammates, and they're actually racing cars right now. So, Jeff, if you listen to the show, I hope you guys win, man. He said he through his updates, he sounded like he was doing pretty good. So,
what did Ricky Bobby say? If you're not first, you're last.
Just remember, Jeff. He said not me.
You're a little suck up.
Hey, Jeff Hanna is my friend. He's my close personal friend, and I can't wait to play Agents of Mayhem.
Tricky's trying to join an
Man,
exclusive
you
club.
Are you are really sucking up. We got free advertising here for Agents of Mayhem.
All right, so let's get into what we're playing. I'm going to start us off by saying what I'm playing, and it's a little bit of a shock because I have not played The Division this week.
Wow.
But I have been playing Venture Capitalist.
What?
That sounds like some cousin of Monopoly that no one wants to fucking talk about.
You know what? I don't even know how to describe the game other than you have...
Terrible? Is that how you describe it? Terrible?
You really do nothing in the game. It's worse than No Man's Sky. You're really doing nothing. What you're doing is basically you're buying property, you're trying to collect enough money to upgrade your properties, and then after a while, you have investors that come in that are what they call angel investors, and after you've made a certain enough money, a certain number of angel investors decide to buy your properties from you, so you start all over again, and it just you just repeat the cycle. There's no platinum with the game, but there are some very attainable trophies. It just takes time for the money to grow.
Sounds like a Donald Trump simulator.
Yeah, that's a...
It's one of those...
Like, I'm going to buy, sell, buy some land, buy some property, buy all my Trump stakes. Oh, no more stakes.
Run for president, insult three races.
It's one of those things where, like, the numbers have gotten so ridiculous because you make so much money that right now, because there's three planets in which you can make money. You can make technically one's not a planet. You can make money on Earth. You can make money on Mars, and you can make money on the Moon. That's what I said. Technically, one's not a planet. There's no trophies associated with Mars, so you don't have to worry about that. But there's trophies associated with buying a certain number of things on Earth and buying a certain number of things on Mars, or excuse me, the Moon. It's really one of those games where you just go in, you spend about 2-3 minutes buying properties, setting up your investments, you turn it off, and then you come back to it the next day. That's really
okay. The big question is,
yes,
is it fun?
It's fun in the aspect of it's so ridiculous that it's entertaining.
That's enough.
And that's all that matters.
Because right now on Earth, I am an octo decanillionaire.
That's a more unrealistic number than the number of planets you can discover in No Man's Sky.
Right. And in order to get my last trophy on Earth, I have to get, I think it was 721 Venti Octo Deca Septa Millionaire.
I heard that's seasonal at Starbucks.
Which,
yeah, right around spring, right? Like it's iced.
Yeah.
Which I got
it's
it
like right after pumpkin spice season.
Yeah, well, Matt would definitely know. Matt would know.
See, that here's the weird thing about that. I don't know how many zeros are in that name, so I don't know how far I am from getting that much money. Like
depending on what the first like octo and this and that, that's how many commas there's going to be after every three zeros.
Listen, if you want a preview of the game, I did live stream it on Facebook, and there is videos on our Twitch page that I put on there, just as you know, because I knew I was going to come on the show and talk about the game, and it was going to be really confusing for everybody. So just go onto the video. You could watch literally for a minute, 2 minutes, and fully understand the game.
Awesome.
Also, I've been playing, I think it's Prominence Poker or Providence Poker. It's a new free-to-play game on the PSN. It's basically a poker game. You go on and you play Texas Hold'em.
Is that the one with the Wilson Fisk looking guy on the
right cover? Right. It seems pretty cool. It's it's a competent Texas Hold'em game. There are some trophies associated. Again, no platinum, so there's that. And that's literally all I've been playing all week. Alex, what have you been playing?
So I obviously, as I mentioned before, got the platinum trophy in Lego Batman 3. I also finished all the DLC episodes. So I'm done with that game completely. Went back and played some Rocket League, and I got all the trophies. I got 100% back in that again after the Neo Tokyo DLC. And right now I'm cleaning up my final trophy, one of the DLC trophies from Helldivers. So I've jumped back into Helldivers after a little bit of a short break. But after this, I'm going to move on. And I'm thinking about playing Song of the Deep, although I've seen the review scores aren't very good for it. I probably need to ask Daryl, because I know Resident Daryl over on Remember the Loot, he picked it up. So I'm going to have to ask him what he thinks of it. It's an Insomniac game, and I'm a big fan of Insomniac, obviously, from Ratchet and Clank and whatnot. So I want to at least, you know, give the game a shot. But again, the reviews aren't good, so I'm kind of iffy on it at this point.
And I also heard there's no platinum with that game either.
You're really on this whole no platinum kick.
Well, you know, for a long time we've talked about platinums. You know, what's more important, platinums or, you know, trophies? And I, like, during my week off last week, which I actually wasn't off because I actually listened to the show while you guys were doing it live, I started thinking about this, and I kind of want to wait. I was going to wait until talk next week when Neil's back so the four of us can get together and fully discuss this. Because there are games out there that have no platinums. So Alex has 100% of those games on his list. I have 100% of them on my list. You have them on your list. Technically, we've completed all the requirements to unlock a platinum. So at that aspect, you know, does platinum still hold up as the most important trophies? Because we all would have at least, I'd say, 5 or 6 more platinums each.
Oh, easily. Especially if you go through all the original Telltale games before right. they started doing Platinums.
So, like, all that... So, to me, I mean, I have an argument for saying that overall trophy score is more important than Platinums, but then, you know, I see the other argument too, so...
I think it depends on the game, really. I mean, if you get, like, the Joe Danger games, like, they are, you know, kind of difficult, they're challenging, so I think that the 100% in those games, especially Joe Danger 2, which is hard to get an S rank in or complete the game 100%, I think that that holds up against, you know, another game that might be easier and still has a Platinum Trophy. So it depends on the game, really, I think.
Well, I want to save that discussion for next week when Yield's back and we can fully go into it. Maybe we'll make our topic of the week this week, next week. Mark, what have you been playing?
Not much, because like I said last week, I do have a long list of games I have at 100%, so that's on hold, because there's a new WWE game coming out soon, and that means the servers are going to be going down for the current one that's already out, so I'm trying to get...
Do they kill the servers that quickly?
No, but people are going to stop playing it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see what you mean.
So that's why I've been playing 2K16 on the PS4, and I also picked it up for like $2 or $3 on the PS3, which is a totally different game because they don't have like the career mode and shit like that. So hopefully, I will add two more platinums in the WWE games to my overall trophy list. And then I've been playing mobile games because I like WWE SuperCard, so I've been playing that again for the consistency of like every week for the last 3 months.
All right, Jeremy, what have you been playing, buddy?
I've been playing Madden 17 lately, and I picked that up this week. And I've been playing a bit of The Division myself. I've been struggling to decide whether I'm going to dredge along with No Man's Sky. I thought I picked it up. It's definitely the most boring game I've ever played.
I'm going to say that this is week three of No Man's Sky Watch. Wait. We really haven't talked much about No Man's Sky, the actual game.
What were you talking about boring? Like, did you say The Division was boring or No Man's Sky? Or both?
No Man's Sky. I love The Division.
Thank you!
I die hard on The Division.
Thank you!
I thought you said you were smart.
Yeah.
only when it comes to wrestling, apparently.
And even that's a stretch. Even that's a stretch, though.
It is, yes. Yeah, sometimes it is a stretch. I that's why I have a co-host with me, you know, because I have to have a crutch. It's just I see a future in it if they do updates, so I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to give up on it. I do like pick it up and poke around at least once a week. Right now, it's dead. It's not a very interesting game.
Wait, I just to be clear, you're talking about No Man's Sky, or you're talking
No
about-
Man's Sky? Okay. Yes, yeah. And I am trying to power through Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2.
Oh
well, I would tell you to get up with Resident Daryl because he's actually trying to get a foursome to run through that game.
Oh, amazing!
The ports are really bad on the PS4.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're not as good as they you know boasted about being. They talked about how they were cleaning them up and making them look good, and they're really not. But it's a game that I loved. When it comes to like Diablo, that type of dungeon crawler loot game, like that is right in my wheelhouse.
You should.
Of course, Marvel. I mean, you're just putting two things I love together, so I will play the hell out of both of them. And I same thing with WWE. I'm trying to run through my career mode and trying to get some achievements and trophies on that before I actually move on to 17. Because I know once 17 comes out, I'll never go back and finish that career with 16.
All right. Matt, what do you
hold think? On before we move on, I want to point out, I forgot to point this out during our trophy count.
Yes, sir.
But with Donnie gone, I am now the top of the food chain for platinums on this show. I'm the top platinum guy.
Yeah, but you're not the top trophy guy or the top.
It doesn't
guy.
Matter.
Catching up to you in top trophies, by the way. I'm just saying.
You're still a thousand behind me. What are you talking about?
I can do that.
You're catching up to me.
Hey, it's better than being...
I'll entertain you when you get 500. You're still 500 away from me even entertaining you. Wow.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I know one way we can settle this.
You're like a little child that just wants praise.
I don't want praise. I want you to acknowledge the fact that I am catching up to you.
I will acknowledge that you are 4 levels behind me. You're over 1,000 trophies behind me. And you are almost 40 platinums behind me. So, yeah, I recognize your inadequate and your underachieving status.
Oh, we're settling this in 2K16, and you've seen my Facebook videos. I always kick out.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize John Cena was on the show.
You just couldn't see me. I'm sorry.
All right.
Oh, that's exactly it.
You left his wristband in the ring. Matt, what have you been playing?
God, you ruined it, Tricky.
I play a lot of Rocket League still, so I wish I could tell you the exact veteran status I am on the game, but I don't remember. So play that quite a bit, just the multiplayer. I downloaded the beta or the multiplayer test for Titanfall 2, and that's been a pretty fun weekend. So that's actually been really interesting. The same as Jeremy playing WWE 2K16. I gave up on career mode because I can only fight Sheamus so much in an amount of 3 matches.
What, like, they make you fight Sheamus over and over again?
I don't know. It's like a glitch that goes on in that game. I think some people get stuck fighting.
Do you have Sheamus to play as Cesaro the entire time?
Yeah, it's pretty absurd. So career mode's done for me. I have no ambition to go back. And
you
play
know
it.
What? You know, I moved on because I had the same problem. They kept putting me against Sheamus for the IC belt or the IC title division. And then when I moved up into heavyweight, Sheamus followed me. And so now I'm having to go up against Sheamus again. So I don't know what the hell it is about this game that it just pushes Sheamus.
It has a huge boner for Sheamus, and I don't. So I'm just like, peace out, Sheamus. Peace out, career mode. I'm not dealing with it anymore.
That's not what you've said on our podcast.
No, not at all. It's different. It's real life. And so I'm playing that, and then I just recently started playing Star Wars Bounty Hunter, the port on the PlayStation 4. But the controls are so obscene that I can't even. I don't like half the time know what I'm doing anymore. So that's what I've been up to. All
right, let's get into our news. Now we don't have a lot of news to talk about this week. I guess most of these are going to be pass through topics, but I guess some of these could be a little conversationalist. Our first one is, PlayStation has now set up a 2-step verification for PlayStation, for when you log onto your system. For anybody that doesn't know what a 2-step system is, it's just a way to it takes an extra step to verify who you are. It's designed to stop hackers from getting into your PlayStation Network accounts and making unauthorized purchases. So I don't know if this is going to be for current accounts or this is going to be for new accounts or both. It just says that Sony has now quietly added a 2-step verification to their PlayStation Network. So it seems like Sony is taking serious to try to protect your information from now on. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be very conversational.
It's like, okay, 2-step verification. Like,
What is, did it say what the second step is?
It does say.
Probably like text message to your phone.
Yeah, it looked like an image of a phone. I mean, yeah. I went to school for network for security, so I do most of my day job is like servers and infrastructure and network security. So like I have like reminders from Google Calendar and stuff like that to just change my passwords every 30 days.
Yeah.
And I like cycle through 5 different passwords. I'm like, I tell everyone all the time, just do that. Like this whole 2-step verification, I mean, it's nice, but what happens if you don't have access? Like I used to play like World of Warcraft, and specifically I think when the Old Republic came out, I had the big collector's edition. It came with a keychain that was linked to your account, and if you pushed a button on the keychain, it would give you a code to enter in to get into your game, and if the battery died on that, you're screwed. Huh. Like, so if you don't have one of these, that's one of the verification steps, like, you can't get into your account.
Yeah.
All right. I've never really been a fan of 2-step verifications.
Alright, the next bit of news is, apparently we are going to begin a new DualShock 4. One of the namely features is that there's going to be a light bar that goes across the top of the touchpad. Apparently, this is going to be coming with the new, all but confirmed, PlayStation 4. Now, to give anybody that's listening an idea of what I'm talking about, if you look at your DualShock 4, you have the touchpad that's on the front. As it folds over onto the top of the controller, right across where it starts to fold, there's going to be a light bar. That is designed for anybody who's trying to turn on their controllers who, you know, a lot of people say it's an inconvenience to have to actually flip over the controller to see what light it is, to see what player they are. Now you're going to have a light that's on the front of the controller so you see it without having to actually turn your hands for you lazy people who just don't want to turn your hands.
Wow.
You saying wow to me, or you saying wow to that they had to add that in?
That they had to add it in.
Yeah.
I thought it just looked cool.
I mean, it looks cool, but if you're telling us that that's why you have put it there, then, you know.
It'll look good in like games like Until Dawn.
No, no, the light turns off, and it only turns on when you hit the PlayStation button.
Oh, good. So it's not like
the regular light bar?
Right. It's not the regular light bar. It just turns on when you hit the PlayStation button.
But I can
I didn't even read the article. I just looked at the photo, and I was like, oh,
I can imagine it being a distraction if the light was on the whole time.
Right. Especially
when you're playing games in the dark. Like, that would, yeah. But if it turns off, then great.
It's looking like we're going to get the official announcement probably by the next time you hear us or the time after that. As has been previously reported, they're having Sony's having a PlayStation meeting taking place in New York City on September 7th. I will be there. The rumor is that they're also going to be revealing the Neo, so hopefully I'll get on the ground floor and be able to give you guys some straight from the floor details.
I call dibs on any goodies.
Let me ask this question.
Yes, sir.
When you say PS4 Slim, are you talking about the Neo? Can we please just, as with Lucia's name, can we get consistent with this so we don't confuse people into thinking that two different systems?
Well, no, the PlayStation 4 Slim and the Neo are two different systems.
Yeah, this is like basically a slim version of the current hardware PS4.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to clear that up.
Yeah, the PlayStation 4 Slim, which is still a code name at this point, and
the Neo
are two completely different systems. The Neo is rumored to be a highly more powerful PlayStation 4. The Slim is just a smaller, sleeker PlayStation 4, which is also reported not to have an optical outdrive for your audio for the people that seem to use that. But through hardware and research and whatnot, Sony has determined that not enough people use it to have to put an optical drive into the back of the new PlayStation 4s. So, all that being said, we have our next one is bad news for anybody that pays for PlayStation Plus. Next month, it's going to get a little bit more expensive. PlayStation Plus prices will increase on September 22nd, and it will go from $49.99 up to $59.99, so a $10 a year increase. For your 3 months, the price is going to go from $17.99 up to $24.99, and for 1 month, there is no change in the price. It's still going to be $10 a month. Current subscribers will be hit with the pricier fees after renewing their accounts. This is the first time you're going to be expected to pay more. The PlayStation blog has stated prices will remain stable since the PlayStation Plus launched in 2010.
I'm shocked that it's that old. I'm surprised that it's about 6 years old.
Yeah,
I'm shocked we still don't get a lot of good games for free.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait.
Is Donnie back on the show?
I was going to say, Donnie still on the show or what?
I've been consistent with it. Like, there's been some good gems that, like, you know, Rocket League and stuff like that have been free. But I'm saying, like, you know, the PlayStation 4 has been almost out, 3 years in November? And, like, you can't – like, I still want them to throw some, like, higher quality AAA titles in there.
Oh, I mean, that's one argument can be made. Now, it is also worth noting that if you go out and get a, like, if you're Johnny Warbucks and you go out and you buy 5 years worth of PlayStation Plus subscriptions right now, and you come home and you put the code in, you'll have PlayStation Plus for the next 5 years at the current price. It doesn't just, you know, they don't charge you extra. So all your existing time, it is what it is. You will not get charged a new price until you go to renew after September 22nd. So right now, currently, I am good until 2026, I believe. So I'm good to go.
Mine expired.
So get on that. And our last bit of news, we delayed this from last week.
I didn't get to talk about.
You want to talk about PlayStation Plus subscription going up?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks that it's going up by $10. I mean, it's not really that much money, but it's still $10 more. I do want to point out, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like at least once every year, PlayStation Plus cards go on sale. So you can probably still get it for $50 or less at least once during the year if you look out for it.
Depending on where you go, was it not last year, 2014 on Black Friday, I was able to get PlayStation Plus like for a whole year. They had the cards. I think it was either Dell.com, Target, or Best Buy, because those were three. And it was like, I think $24.99.
I got mine off of Amazon on Black Friday in 2014. I bought 12 years worth at $30 a piece. That's why I'm good until 2026.
Until Sony eventually goes out of business.
And I remember when I bought it, I came on the show and I told the guys, they're like, what if the PlayStation Plus gets canceled by then? I said, well, then I'm screwed, but until then, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think you still saved money nonetheless.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
I think you did. I think you came out on top on that one.
I paid $360 for 12 years worth of service, and in the first year, I got my money back, so I'm not really worried
about
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
The next bit of news we delayed from last week into this week. Konami has gone ahead post Hideo Kojima and announced a new Metal Gear game entitled Metal Gear Survive. I don't really know how to explain this other than this game is taking place after Ground Zeroes but before Phantom Pain. This game is designed to bridge that timeline. What we do know about it is it's not going to star Snake or Big Boss or anything like that. It seems to be a four-player co-op team experience in which you're going to be sucked through a wormhole, taken to a alternate universe, and you're going to be fighting crystalline zombies and at least a Metal Gear. I know this is getting a lot of hate.
Okay, time out. First of all, does every game have to involve zombies now?
Yes.
You didn't get that memo?
Is this the new multiplayer?
You didn't see the Rocket League zombie update? Jeez.
Pretty sure 2K17 DLC...
Don't do that to me. I can't take that.
I'm pretty sure WWE 2K17 DLC will be like Goldberg zombies.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. They're putting out WWE zombie action figures. I wouldn't doubt it before it's in the
We had the
game.
Freaking Terminator in the last game. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, right.
Now, I know this game is getting a lot of hate. And I know last week Donnie had said that no true Metal Gear fan is going to like this. And I know Donnie's not here to defend himself, but I'm not hating on this. I'm really not. Because I think if they went with Snake, I'd be pissed. But they're not going with Snake. They're not going with Big Boss. They're trying to take the same universe that we all know and love. And I look at this as Konami's trying to garner the interest in whether or not people are actually still interested in Metal Gear now that Hideo Kojima's not doing it. So, I'm not hating on it. Lucia, I know that you are somewhat of a Metal Gear fan. How are you feeling about all this news?
Hey, Lucia, I've heard that you've heard of Metal Gear Solid at least once or twice and maybe read an article about it. What do you think about this?
Yeah, no, it's not that I haven't, like, you know, reviewed them in the past or played all of them. I like Metal Gear Solid. I like the franchise. I just kind of, my evolution as a video game player, I kind of got away from the stealthy style games because they got kind of meh. I like 5. I like this because I like co-op games and there's not a lot of co-op games coming out that are just like pick up and play, like mindless fun. Like I still play Dead Nation with my friends, so I like co-op zombie games like Left 4 Dead and stuff like that. So I'm gonna get this strictly because I want a fun co-op game.
Alex,
I'm not gonna buy this for an engrossing and rich story. I don't. It's Konami.
Alex, I would have went to you, but I know that you're not a big Metal Gear fan because I've actually sent you the Metal Gear franchise and you barely played it.
Okay, well, first of all, you sent me Metal Gear Solid, the original, and the copy you sent me stopped working after a while.
But you were done. You were long past wanting to play it when that happened.
I was still continuing to play it, but it just the first disc stopped working, so it's like, well, I can't play this anymore. And I did buy. I'm pretty sure that I bought the Metal Gear Solid collection, and I tried to play Guns of the Patriots or Sons of Liberty and Snake Eater, and
You couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I couldn't get it. I'm not really into stealth. Like, I'm the God of War kind of guy. The guy, go in guns blazing, take out as many people as you can. My stealth goes basically as far as Sly Cooper. I enjoy the Sly Cooper stealth. It's easy. It's still fun. I get to explore a little bit, but
it's silly.
I can't take like the serious stealth where I can't make like a single mistake or I'll get gunned down. I can't take that. It's not fun to me. And yeah, I'm but not you skilled at it.
I don't want to contradict you because, but you play a game like The Last of Us that deals heavily on stealth too.
There are certain segments in that game that are heavily that are stealth. Yes, but it's not all the time. And Metal Gear Solid, at least in the beginning, in a lot of those games, there you start off with stealth. And you're putting basically a brick wall up in front of me before I can even start to get into it.
All right. Jeremy and Matt, how do you guys feel about this? I don't know if you guys are big Metal Gear fans.
I like Metal Gear a lot. I like the lore and like the story behind Metal Gear, but I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I'm not huge on stealth games. So it's always been kind of a struggle for me to get through them and get to, you know, get to the payoff, get to the story, the plot twist and stuff that I want. I am very interested in the co-op idea. The co-op idea of a Metal Gear game is much more interesting to me than the zombie portion of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed Metal Gear on the PS1, and I enjoyed Metal Gear 2 on the PS2, and then once I started relying more on stealth, I'm complete garbage at stealth. So I had no patience for it. I was just bad at the game in general. But I do like the series, and I feel like a lot of the backlash is just because they're using the Metal Gear name, and had this not used the Metal Gear name and they put it out as something else, I think people would have liked it, and then they would have found out, oh my god, this is part of the Metal Gear story somewhere, this is like a side adventure, and people probably would have been liked it like that. But I mean, didn't we have like a button mashing write-in game not too long ago? And
yeah, but that
Revengeance.
Yeah, but that was also games. Yeah, that was made by Platinum Games. But so. See, I think what's really upsetting people is all the bullshit that went through with Konami and Hideo Kojima. Like, they split, they part ways, and then Konami addresses it but doesn't directly address it by saying that they're moving out of the console market and they're going to focus more on pachinko machines.
Oh yeah.
And then you go through that bullshit, and then it's kind of their way of saying, yeah, that's why Hideo's leaving, is because we're not concentrating on consoles no more. And then he leaves, and then you announce a AAA game for the console.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I think that's where a lot of the hate's coming from. So, with that being said, I mean, I'm going to play the game. It does look pretty good to me from what I've seen. And as far as zombies, when I look at games now, I don't look at the zombie aspect, because Last of Us, not zombies. Day's End or Days Gone. Was it Day's End or Days Gone?
Days gone.
That's not zombies. So the zombie aspect, I understand the hate for it, but I don't personally dislike zombie games right now. And we all,
I think that regardless of how you feel about it as a Metal Gear fan, don't make just like a snap decision and say I'm not going to play it.
Right.
I think that you should, and not talking to you, Tricky, specifically, okay, but all Metal Gear fans, including Donnie. Don't make a snap decision. Just wait it out, see more media as more stuff comes out. And, you know, maybe just give it a chance and play it and see. You don't just shut it down immediately, because it may end up being really fun.
Yeah.
The best comment I've seen so far is someone said, if Kojima's name was on this, the internet would lose their shit.
Yes.
It's absolutely. It's true. If Kojima's name was on it, it's not. Like, everyone would just be like, oh my god, Kojima's gonna, he's gonna make zombies the best zombies ever. It's just like, they're using the Fox engine. They're using all the same graphics and everything else. So it's not like it's going to be a bad game because his name's not on it. He's just not doing the story for it. That doesn't mean the gameplay is going to change.
Well, also in the fact that this, if it's a 4-player co-op, chances are it's not going to be story heavy. So yeah, it might actually still be good. So
could be better than Revengeance.
I never played Revengeance. Well, I take that back. I did play it, but I never really got into it. Like, I never Like, I played it, and I stopped playing it for whatever reason, and just never went back to it.
I bought the collector's edition for the light, the little, like, electricity sword lamp thing, and that was it.
Nice.
Alright. Alright, so that is our end of our news, but we do have a topic of the week, and I know we kind of touched on it a little bit last week and, you know, previous other times, but with No Man's Sky getting all the hate it's getting recently, and the news coming out that Steam and the PlayStation Network are offering refunds for No Man's Sky, I thought it'd be interesting to have a conversation about whether or not Steam or the PSN, regardless of why they're doing it, should this be a common practice that once you buy a digital game, that they should be giving you any chance to have a refund?
Tricky, I think that we also need to mention that they have decided to give refunds no matter how long you've played the game.
Well, okay, yes, you said that, but what I like, Steam is, their practice is you can download the game, you can play it for 2 hours, their traditional refund policy is that you can download the game, play for 2 hours, and within 2 hours you don't like it, you can get a refund for it. The PlayStation Network was, you could have downloaded it, but you could never have started it. Now, like I said, they changed their policy, but regardless of their policies, just in general, should Steam and PlayStation Network, and for that matter, Xbox Live, should they be refunding games that you bought digitally?
Yes.
And guys, may I take the lead on this?
Well, Luce has already said no.
I said yes.
He said yes.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. He said yes. That's what I meant to say. I don't know why I said that. But Alex, yeah, please start the discussion.
So it's a little weird because this would set a new precedent for this area. Like with certain things like food, I work for Whole Foods, and we have a guarantee where if you don't like what you buy, you can bring it back for a refund with your receipt. Sweet. With like movies and CDs and stuff like that, if you open it, you can exchange it for the same thing as like another copy of that CD or movie or whatever at the store. But if you don't like the movie, you can't return it to the store. If it's defective, well, you can exchange it for another copy of said movie or the music. Same with video games.
Well, I want to cut in right there. And the reason that is the reason you can't open that is because with today's technology, you can essentially go home, copy it, and bring it back.
I mean, that technology has been around for at least a decade, though.
Well, no, I'm just saying. That's the reason why they say you can't. If once it's opened, you can exchange it for the same thing. You can't just get your money back.
But you can do the same. You can do the same kind of with a video game, at least a disc video game.
Yeah.
So, like, this would be a relatively new idea. Not refunds for digital games, but being able to just, I don't know. It's uncharted territory because you, like, growing up, you could always exchange for something if you've played it, but you could, or like resell it to GameStop, but you couldn't get a full refund for it just because you didn't like it. I mean, there are people out there that are enjoying No Man's Sky, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's bad press either way. Like, if they give a bunch of refunds for No Man's Sky, they look really bad because the game looks really bad at that point because a bunch of people are returning it. But if they don't give out refunds, then people complain on the internet and they look bad there too. I just think that, I don't know, if you're not satisfied with a product, like if it's defective, then yes. If the game is unplayable, but if you simply don't like the game that you purchased, I don't think you should be able to get a refund for it because, quite frankly, you can't do that for movies. You can't do that for CDs. So, I mean, if you do that, you're opening up an entirely new and setting an entirely new precedent for, like, media, physical media.
All right, well, before I go to the other guys, I just want to say one thing. You kind of said you kind of qualified your answer with if it's broken or defective or whatnot that you would be in favor of getting a refund, but if you don't like it, you know, unfortunately, today's society, all you got to do is walk in and say whatever bullshit reason, and the clerk behind the counter or the person on the other end of that phone, they don't give a shit what your answer is. They just have to do what they're told to do, basically. So,
right.
If I bought No Man's Sky and I don't like it, or I just call, oh, well, now my download's not working, please refund my money. You know what I'm saying? People lie too much, so I feel like it's either got to be one extreme or the other. Either you're going to do the refunds or you're not going to do the refunds. There can't be a reason why you do it or why you wouldn't do it.
But if people do that, if they continue to return the game because they just don't like it, if enough people do it, then Sony and other game companies are not going to take on this type of project in the future, and it kind of hurts game development.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
You also may be looking at people, if they have to give refunds, like raising the prices for other services, PlayStation Plus. I mean, you're not really doing any good by getting your money back if you don't like the game. If you don't like the game, I can understand $60 is a lot of money to pay for a game, but if you don't want to pay $60, just wait for it to get cheaper. I mean, I have not heard anything about this game. I mean, if it's unplayable, again, you should get a refund. But I have not heard that the game is unplayable. And, you know, I don't think that you should get a refund simply because you don't like the game. I can't go buy a movie ticket to a movie theater, see the movie, and then be like, well, I didn't like the movie.
Yes, you can.
I have a you can?
Yep.
You can buy a ticket, go and see the movie, and say, I didn't like it, and give my money back.
Yes, you can. They don't advertise that you can do that, but it's well within your right. I have done it before with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. Almost did it with Suicide Squad. Just in almost any movie Will Ferrell is in.
Has anyone else experienced this? Because I've never tried this before.
That's new to me.
Our theaters here is like a flat no refund unless it's like a major issue.
And
like if you had a seating issue, something like that.
Or the screen broke. But a lot of places. Projectors.
I know if you book through, like, if you get your tickets through, like, Fandango, they have a refund policy. But I know a lot of places, like, if you just go to the theater, there's a lot of no refund policies.
Yeah, it probably depends on the chain, too.
I think so, too.
Or how much and how loud you complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can get a refund for anything if I yell enough.
Yeah, I just don't offended. Like, my religious beliefs, that was, like, a horrible movie. Who would ever hire Pauly Shore again? And then they're like, oh, sorry, sir, here's your refund. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. They get that a lot, so that's why they just hand those out.
You know, that made me think of, you know how they show old movies, like Ghostbusters and whatnot, on they bring them back for a few nights on the big screen at, like, local movie theaters? I was just thinking, when you said that, I thought of, whenever someone says Pauly Shore, I think of Biodome. And I was just
that
like, you know
what?
That was
the only good movie he ever did.
You don't see anyone calling for Biodome to come back for like a 20th or 25 year anniversary,
right?
Showing in a movie theater.
We should.
I would go
to
except for Pauly
right?
Shore.
It's been about 20 years since he's been famous, right?
I think so.
But for a short time there, he had like a burst of movies that just wham, 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 and it probably made him a lot of money. Son-in-law.
In the army now?
Yeah.
Encino Man.
Jury duty, unfortunately.
Can we not do a Pauly Shore IMDb section here?
Can you not smoke on the podcast?
I bet that we're not even doing a podcast.
See, nobody would have known I was smoking until you said that.
You said that you were smoking.
Yeah, you brought it up.
No, what I said.
Live, so he wasn't gonna. He was gonna cut out what he said.
What I said was, I'm not near my mic. Just keep talking.
Well, I could hear you.
Yes.
That's why I kept talking.
Because I have a different headset than the microphone that goes to the podcast.
We're not about hiding things from our fans, our listeners.
This is the shoot.
Yes, listeners. I was smoking a cigarette. I tried to have them vamp, and now they're narking on me.
I think we listed all,
build
his,
our wellness policy.
All his movies anyway, so there's really no need to IMDb him. 1992 Encino Man, a class act, which I'm sure nobody heard of. 1993 Son in Law, 1994 In the Army Now. He was in a Goofy movie. I think we failed to mention that one.
Power.
Oh, he was the stoner friend.
Yeah, he was. The Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Jury Duty in 95, Biodome 96. That was his last big movie. That's about it. Yeah.
It was a good movie. That was actually a decent movie, too, because it actually had a lot of good actors in it.
We talking about Biodome?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think...
All right.
I don't know if good actors is what, because I don't really remember anyone from that movie that was a memorable actor.
All right, let's rope this back in here. Back to refunds.
That's what happens when you leave.
It turns into the Pauly Shore cast.
Me personally, I don't think they should be getting refunds at all. I firmly believe that if you go into buying a game, then you know what you're doing, and if you decide that you don't like the game, tough shit. You spent your money. And, you know, lesson learned, you know, there are ways, things you could do about it. You can go to Gamefly, you can rent the game, you could, you know, go to GameStop and do what I've always done. Buy a used game, play it for 7 days. If I don't like it, I bring it back, get my money back.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many ways to get around this. You know, I've decided to go all digital in my route, but even my all digital on the games that I'm not totally sure that I want, I wait until I can get it from Gamefly or I can get it from GameStop, try it out, and then I make my decision.
Or even game share it even, like if your friend had, like, you know, like, hey, I see you're playing this, let me try it real quick.
I think, let's
be honest, if you're going to screw somebody, don't screw Sony or Steam, go screw GameStop.
Yes, please.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that believes that, you know, you paid with your money, and why should this developer, who successfully sold his product to you, now have to say, okay, let the people that worked hard on this game not make a profit because they did, you know, all the time and effort they put into making that game.
Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. Be smarter with your money.
Absolutely.
If you're going to go spend money on something, know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Don't just make like an impulse purchase of $60. An impulse purchase of like a dollar candy bar at the grocery store is different. Don't make an impulse purchase of a $60 video game, because there are a lot bigger decisions in life. And if you can't successfully make and accept a decision to buy a video game, then you're a lot of fucking trouble.
Well, I hate to say it this way because it's going to come out very blunt, but, you know, our listeners know I'm a very blunt person. If you cannot afford to spend $60 on a game and be okay with the fact that I spent $60 on a game, then maybe you shouldn't be buying fucking video games.
He said be more fiscal responsible.
It's a fact. It's the same mentality that I have when I go down to Atlantic City and I sit down at a poker table. I never sit down at that poker table with more money than I can afford to lose.
You know, I was about to say, Tricky's talking about fiscal responsibility. He's talking about gambling it away here.
Yeah, right.
No. What I'm saying is, not only is he
smoking on the show, he's now gambling too. How many vices do you have, Tricky Mick? Playing the division.
All of
that's
them.
The third one.
Oh, he brought back the division bullshit.
Jeremy, get right back here.
I will stand up for the division. It's got some flaws, but damn, it's a fun game.
Thank you.
No, I
was
feel
make a bad joke. I didn't
know. I honestly feel, you know, I agree with Tricky. If you've paid for it, you've stepped up for that. The only reason I feel that there should ever be a refund digitally is if the game is unplayable. If they've delivered you a product that you cannot enjoy because of something they did, then yes, you should get a refund. If, you know, the instances like we had with the Arkham Knight on Steam where it just was not playable, or if they present you with a product that they have promised to be one thing and it turns out to be another, those cases, yes, I believe that it is not the consumer's fault. They should get a refund. But with things such as YouTube and Steam and as many review sites are out there now, there should be no reason that anybody ever buys a game that they don't like. You have the opportunity to either, one, Redbox it, two, Gamefly it, or like Tricky said, just make sure that you go out and you buy it used and you get it back within your 7 days in a place like GameStop, because you're right. If we're going to screw over anybody, screw over GameStop.
You know, as a former GameStop employee who rise to the ranks of within the store I was at for
you and
over
I both.
A year and a half.
So you know all about screwing people.
Yes.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Giving everybody a dollar for their video game.
No, I was there in the golden era before it was that bad.
You mean EB Games? That's when you were there?
Yes, it was like the 02 to 04.
I was there that era as well.
Funko Land.
I always felt bad because right when around the like PS3, Xbox 360 time, we saw a change in the graphics of video gaming, and I was more lenient with how I would handle the refund, because there was a time where they were literally like, well, it's basically a judgment call if you want to do any refunds before they did dead set, like, no, if it's been opened. And I used to see like parents come in, like, my kid said, oh, it was like this, and then he took a chainsaw and ripped the guy in half, and I'm like, how old's your kid? They're like 9. I'm like, wow. I was like, psychopath. So it's just like the refunds for like physical stuff. Digital, I mean, like I said last week, I had a refund, and it wasn't because I didn't like the game. It was WWE game, but the fact that what was listed in the bundle that I bought was digitally right, was
that
not.
That wasn't your mistake.
So like, I mean, but No Man's Sky, like everyone wants, you know, that's basically why this whole, you know, refund thing is really going to be brought to the forefront is because of No Man's Sky. And really, you can't. Can you really get mad at, like, the consumer base if they were, like, let's face it, we get lied to a lot about what, from developers and, not developers,
no,
but publishers
we get
too.
Lied to?
I know, right? Who would have thought? So it's like, we can't really, like, get too mad when people want refunds when we're told all this stuff is going to happen. Like, I could understand if you buy, like, Mortal Kombat, you're like, oh, I don't like the engine on this game, I want a refund. You'd be like, too bad, kid, go learn how to be someone who isn't Scorpion. Whereas, like, you know, with No Man's Sky, it's like, you, like, it just looks dull and vacant of any content.
I think the problem with No Man's Sky is, unfortunately, just like The Last Guardian, there's no way that game was going to live up to the hype that it got. And people had their ideas of what the game should have been and could have been. And when they opened it up and realized that Sean Murray's been telling you from the start exactly what the game was, and you let your imagination run wild to what you're going to get, and it didn't play out to the way you thought it was going to be. That's not Sean Murray's fault.
It was Sean Murray's word. Like, they could have released more videos and be like, no, this is exactly how it's going to be when it comes out. It's like, oh, so the whole, there's going to be more stuff coming along. Like, when it comes out, like, it's not, it's just more trees.
Well,
it's
the same thing that I was telling you.
Teddy bear.
It's the same thing I've been telling Yield this entire time. What the hell is the game about? Other than going to the center of the universe, what is the game about? And that's the main reason why I had zero hype for No Man's Sky. I wasn't
Space Farm Simulator.
Like, he was like, oh, well, you're going to farm this planet. When did they say you were going to farm a planet? Oh, well, they said it. Okay, I missed that totally.
Did you know Farming Simulator 2017 is going to be in space?
All right. With that being said.
I hope.
All right. With that being said, I'm going to throw a curveball to our crew today because we are done with the topic of the weekend. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. Let's try something new on the show, something we've never actually done before. When we've introduced a new podcast on Proven Gamer, we basically brought the guys on, let you meet them and whatnot. But I figured it'd be fun because the five of us, we're all wrestling fans. Let's have a wrestling discussion on a PlayStation podcast.
Like, let's have a wrestling match, but tricky.
One of the things you guys touched on your last episode, Alex, I don't know how much you know about it already. Mark, I know you know about it because we've actually talked about it. Jeremy, why don't you tell us about the interview between The Miz and Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack?
Okay, so Talking Smack, for any of the just the listeners who don't really know, it's like the Talking Dead for SmackDown. It's an interview type show, so The Miz comes on and Daniel Bryan just flat out kind of insults the guy. I hope I'm not the only person in this that kind of thought Daniel Bryan came off as a dick, but he flat out told the guy, you know, you wrestle like a coward, you wrestle safe. You wrestle like a coward, and you're the typical WWE guy that I saw when I was an independent wrestler, and the reason why I never wanted to come to this company. And whether this was all a work or it was a shoot, which is a term for off script, it was the Miz went intense. He started screaming at him. He got in his face. He told him how it was. He said, "You know what? Look, Daniel Bryan, you've got a broken neck. I'm the coward. WWE is the company that won't let you wrestle. If I'm the coward, I believe you're a coward because you will not quit this company and go wrestle independently because you're afraid of your neck as well." And took it to a real place.
Jeremy, let me cut you off a second because I actually just looked it up on my phone. I'm going to try to play it on the show for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that this is going to work or it's going to be the whole video, so please bear with me if I'm wrong. All right, I'm hitting play now.
Let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them, I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward. Okay, I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, you would? Yeah. You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring, and you love wrestling, right? Well, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
okay, band? I think you need to calm. That's not what this show's about.
The GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick, because the fact is, you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward.
All right, that's where the video stopped.
Good on that. I'd like to just point out, too, that he's on a show called Talking Smack. And he's talking smack to Daniel Bryan, and Renee Young tells him that's not what this show is about. Right. That's clearly what the show's entirely about.
Well, see, okay. I want to say this because it's one of those things where I believe it was a work. And for anybody who doesn't understand what a work is, I believe it was scripted. But I also believe Miz took that way too far.
I think so, too. I think it started off as a work, and The Miz took it to a place that was way too real for Daniel.
Right.
And that's why he got up and walked away.
Right, because Daniel wants to wrestle. He wants to wrestle, and he's been quoted saying that he feels uncomfortable around the business because he's not there to be a GM. He's there to wrestle.
And that's the thing, is if it was a work, Daniel Bryan is scripted as his manager, his authority figure. So if it was a 100% a work, why wouldn't he just stand up and say, you know what, you're suspended for the way you talk to me. Or I'm going to put you in a match against somebody that you can never beat
right.
for the way you talk to me. It was, I think you're right, it started off as a work and then it just got taken to a place that it shouldn't have. And I don't know that Daniel Bryan should have come across as harsh as he did either. Because, I mean, just straight out telling the guy he's a coward, too, and insulting him on TV is kind of rough, too. So I don't know if Daniel Bryan misspoke and took it as a work and then the Miz reacted, or took it as a shoot and Miz reacted, or if Miz just lost it halfway through. But either way you look at it, I came out of watching that with much more respect for the Miz than I think I ever have had in his career.
I have to disagree with you.
That's one of those things where the Miz has been one of those guys. He came from the real world. He came from reality television. So from the start, no one really took him seriously, and people have been insulting him throughout the course, throughout his career. And they talk about him being part of one of the worst WrestleManias in the title match. And he,
yeah, the Miz era was terrible.
The guy has been insulted up
I
and
love
down.
The Miz era.
The 2010 era was terrible.
He's been insulted a lot by fans, people saying he doesn't deserve to be where he is. And so maybe Daniel Bryan's comments set him off, because he's probably as hard as the guy probably works really hard. And as you know, you may or may not like The Miz, or you may or may not hold him in high regard, but he still goes out there and works, and he's doing some good stuff lately. And I think a lot of people are praising him for this work, whether it's a shoot or a work. But, I mean, you know, maybe he went off because Daniel Bryan touched a nerve, because people have been talking shit about The Miz for many years.
Okay, well, I gotta disagree with Jeremy for a second and saying that when he said that he's gained respect to Miz. And I respect your opinion, but I feel I've lost respect for The Miz in that position. Because here's a couple of things of what he said. He said he's there day in and day out. We know that's not true because he does take breaks off and goes to film movies.
But he's asked to. That's the difference, though.
Yeah, that's okay. a WWE thing.
Not like Hollywood films.
No.
It's also part of his character, though, because he's like a Hollywood star.
They turned him into the Hollywood star character because he keeps going to make movies. He was not the Hollywood star before he started making these movies.
I would agree with that if he was doing more, you know, movies for somebody other than WWE.
If he was doing major studio films, then yeah, we could take it out on him. Like, hey, you keep leaving to go do these studio films. You're not dedicated to WWE. But the simple fact is, like, they keep asking him to do Marine sequels, and he doesn't have to say yes to them. He can say no, somebody else can do the Marine because I'm tired of doing them. But he's like, not I'm here. I'll do them.
Indiana and... Jones now. I mean,
but and see, I think I lost the respect for him because I have respect for Daniel, and calling Miz a coward because of the way he wrestles, I think that was the wrong word. But
yeah.
You do see how the Miz does not take risk in the ring. And you look at somebody like Daniel Bryan, who put his body on the line to entertain the fans, and Miz doesn't have that kind of intensity. So, well, yeah, he's calling him a coward, like, and that's the wrong word. But he's right in the fact that Miz doesn't take the chances, and he doesn't take the risk, and therefore he doesn't respect him as a true entertainer.
As a fan, like, I have become, you know, I grew up with Shane McMahon falling off of giant scaffoldings and Mankind getting thrown off Hell in a Cell. What these wrestlers do, like, I saw Charlotte do a moonsault off of the top rope onto the floor, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you crazy?
Yeah,
asking people to do that shit to their bodies is crazy. If WWE cared and the fans cared about these wrestlers at all, they wouldn't have to do that kind of stuff. You say that Daniel Bryan, you know, he was right in saying that, you know, Miz played it safe. Well, where's Daniel Bryan now? He can't do what he loves because he did that high risk style and you're fucked up his neck.
That's absolutely a valid point.
Look at Edge. Edge was a guy who had to quit because of his injuries. And, you know, he Christian. Did like, so quite frankly, he did all the TLC matches and he had that one hardcore match with Mick Foley where he speared him through a fiery table. But that was another guy who did high risk. And where did it get him? You know, Miz, you know, just because someone doesn't kill themselves or, like, throw themselves off a ladder or do ECW-style stuff with tacks and stuff, doesn't mean they don't love the business. I don't think that if you're a fan that you should be entertained by that kind of brutality and say, you've got to jump off a 20-foot ladder, I'm not entertained. You've got to constantly take it up a notch.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was going to say, I wouldn't necessarily fault the Miz for not taking so many risks in the ring. I would fault him more for not taking risks with his character.
But again, he only has so much
held him
that,
back though. Until now. You know what? I mean, well, he does and he doesn't. Like, we've always, but the best guys have always said the character is an amplified version of yourself. So that's what's working for him right now. He is in a bunch of movies, so they're doing an amplified version of that, and that's what's working. He's finally found a niche. But you're absolutely right in, you know, looking at these guys who have put their body on the line and have done these crazy matches. Yes, we all appreciate that as fans. We love that. But there's a time and a place for it. And Miz probably will be in some of those matches at some point. But he is, at this point, you could almost say that the Miz is your dollar store or your B-tier John Cena. He wrestles that typical WWE style. And he lives and breathes for that company at the same time. Like, he's at every charity event. He grants Make-A-Wishes. I've seen more videos recently of him at kids' hospitals and charity events than we've seen of John Cena in a long time. So I would agree with him to that point where he says, you know, I am the guy who loves everything and does everything. Yeah, you know what? Behind the scenes, he is. He is a guy that does live and die for that WWE brand. But I do see, you know, where Daniel Bryan has argument of you are that cookie-cutter style. If he would have taken a little bit more risks here and there, kind of, then maybe that wouldn't be an argument right now. But to insult, if he doesn't go out of it in the ring, that's fine. But to insult a guy who kind of lives and breathes for the company that he works for is kind of, you know, it's just not necessarily the right thing to do.
Well, I agree that Daniel Bryan should not have called him a coward. Absolutely, 100%. I firmly believe he should not have called him a coward. But
right.
I do see, because John Cena is another example. Like, John Cena is the character that gets booed. And he doesn't get booed because he's not a company man, because I don't think anybody here would argue John Cena is fully into WWE. They boo him because they want to see a change in his character. They criticize him because of who he was. And John Cena has gone on record saying, I will turn heel tomorrow, but I need somebody to step up and fulfill all the Make-A-Wish campaigns.
He's got that theme song already recorded.
It's not that he doesn't want to do the Make-A-Wish. He just knows that once he turns heel, less kids are going to be asking for him, and they're going to be asking for more people. And as soon as somebody else is able to take that mantle, he'll turn heel tomorrow. So that's why people criticize John Cena. But, you know, when you put the work in, people recognize that. You know, John Cena comes out every week and he gets booed. And he knows, at least I know, and I firmly believe he knows, they're not booing him as an individual, because I don't think there's one wrestling fan out there that doesn't respect John Cena. I think they boo him because they're trying to let the WWE know, listen, turn this mofo heel already. So, I think Miz took it way too far. I think Daniel Bryan definitely set a trigger off on him. And yeah, probably years and years of frustration probably came out the Miz, and it came out on live WWE Network.
I will tell you one thing, no matter whether it was a work or a shoot or who was at fault in any of it, more people will be watching Talking Smack.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Oh, yeah.
At the W Network for $9.99 a month.
$9.99 a month.
Like we talked about it, Trey. Like I said before, it was supposed to be a work, and they were given bullet points.
Yeah.
Obviously, that it was supposed to run longer than it was. When you're given bullet points, let's all be realistic here. Daniel Bryan is not the best talker.
Oh yeah, right. He never was.
And I feel like, and my because there's been dirt sheets for months now saying that the whole brand split with Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan was there actually entertain the idea of Daniel Bryan versus Mick Foley at WrestleMania, which is that's bad. Tragedy. I mean, they could do all the like DDP Sting yoga you want. Yeah, like you could do all the DDP yoga you want. Like Mick Foley, he does look good. He's dropped 70 pounds. Okay, with that, but he can't do a match.
They're both,
but like they're both I see it as if this plants the seed of the Miz versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. That's genius.
But that would also go back to mentor student.
Fake mentor. Fake student.
Well, back in the day, you know, Miz brought Daniel Bryan in, you know. But
I know. This is the whole NXT, the TV, the reality show.
All right.
Which was hilarious because Daniel Bryan had way more experience than he did for him to be a mentor.
All right. We talked about that. Let's talk about another thing, guys. One of the controversies recently is also with SummerSlam was the finish of the main event. A lot of people are saying that Brock Lesnar is dangerous in the ring and that.
Newsflash.
Now it has come out that, it was always scripted for Randy Orton to get busted open, but it wasn't to the point that it wasn't supposed to get to the point of how bad the injury was. Now, with that being said, this is not the first time Brock Lesnar has physically hurt somebody in the ring by botching a move or whatnot. He's even hurt himself years ago when he tried to do the
shooting star press.
Yeah, right off and landed on his damn head. So,
I mean, you don't need like a newsflash to look at Brock Lesnar and see that he's potentially dangerous with how big he is. You remember like in the old days when everyone was afraid of the sea because everyone thought there were giant sea monsters everywhere? Well, one of those monsters was reincarnated as Brock Lesnar.
Well, my point being that is that one of my
that was great.
One of my arguments
that's
has been
Raw Heyman uses that.
One of my arguments has been is that the fact that with Lesnar going back and forth between UFC and the WWE is that. I personally believe the man does not know how to shut it off and pull his punches. You know, to go from a fully contact sport like MMA to come back into a wrestling ring, you know, you got to be one or the other. You can't, like, he hurt Randy Orton. Now, granted, Randy Orton's fine, but he really hurt him and it went too far. And just so anybody knows, Randy Orton did not blade himself. That was legit broken open by an elbow.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't anybody think he was bleeding because he wasn't.
Brock Lesnar has 2 years to turn off the UFC switch now anyways.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah, right.
But the point is like, but also, you know, let's morph this in more into, you know, injuries. You know, we got Brock Lesnar hurting people and then a lot of people are giving Seth Rollins shit for what he did to Finn Balor, which, you know, any real wrestling fan could really see that Finn Balor had equal responsibility in him getting hurt too.
I'd say that's 100% on Balor. Yeah, he put his arm up on the edge of that apron as he hit it. That's 100% on him.
But this is not the first time that somebody's got hurt off that move. I mean, Sting's career is basically finished because, you know,
not finished.
Well, he's they told him he can't wrestle no more because he's the buckle bomb from Rollins.
So there's been plenty of guys that have like blown their knee out running the ropes, and they're not told to stop.
We don't blame the ropes.
Yeah, we can't blame the ropes. Yeah. I mean, injuries happen, and you know, bad spots happen, and you know, I feel like saying that the buckle bomb is dangerous and that Seth Rollins is dangerous is just kind of just a cop out for a couple random things that have happened. You know, Rollins blew his knee out power bombing Kane. We're not blaming Kane, you know, for blowing out Rollins' knee. Nobody ever blew, you know, nobody ever put the whole Rollins injury on Kane. So,
and we have you look guys at the. Like, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I feel like you had a better.
No, I was just going to say, you look at the John Cena incident. That was 100% an accident. He hits a guy with a knee.
Right.
And John Cena ducked too early. You look at the Sting incident. Sting maybe shouldn't have been in a match against a guy who can work as intense as Rollins.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. You have an older guy like that.
That was such a clash of styles, you know, as far as Sting versus Seth Rollins. You know, like, just them going at it. Like, I commend Sting for being able to keep up, but, I mean, Sting's a – how old is Sting? He's in his 50s.
50, 51. Some, like, right there.
I'm going to Google while you guys are talking.
You're going up against a guy.
And if you think about the TNA matches he did, that lessened his career.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Exactly. Like, how many years did he spend wasting his time in TNA, you know, while, you know, just, you know, doing things he shouldn't have been doing? And granted, he did his Joker character and whatnot, but – Is that really going to be as memorable? You know, while he could have had a better run in WWE had he gone a little bit earlier. I feel, you know, a little bit on that. Just like, dude, wear and tear, man. You were 50 when you took that match, and you know, maybe you should have said there's going to be some spots I don't want to take, and maybe that was the spot he should have decided not to take. You know, you got
to
know.
I see it as NXT is cursed when you get called to the main roster. Sami Zayn came up for the US title, got injured. Finn Balor, like, if you're just now coming up to the roster, don't go for a title. You're going to get injured.
Well, Kevin Owens
did. Right?
Kevin Owens did.
He still
did.
Had the NXT championship, so that was like his shield of protection around
him. I think they brought up Kevin Owens sooner because of what happened to Sami Zayn.
So. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
He's the exception to that because he didn't get injured.
And you know what? I mean, to blame somebody for an injury in the ring, unless it's flat out blatant, you get into this job knowing the injuries are a major risk. If you're not prepared to deal with an injury when it happens, maybe you shouldn't step into that ring.
Well, that's a fair point. And I don't think Seth Rollins is dangerous. But
no, not at all.
But this
Brock Lesnar maybe.
But this is the second move in Rollins' repertoire that has been criticized. First, the curb stomp was outlawed because of how dangerous it was. Now they're criticizing the buckle bomb. I mean,
it
at some point,
at how dangerous it looked.
I don't think the curb stomp would have ever been outlawed if it wasn't a bin for concussion lawsuits against him.
It was the name too. Vince McMahon even said when he was champion he was going to go on Good Mark, and they needed clips, so they flat out told him, yeah, the curb stomp with the name and how it looks, like, kids are going to be watching now that you're champion. So Vince was like, you got to stop
doing
that.
The kids are
going to
be doing the move. Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay.
Yeah,
because
he went over the whole story about the curb stomp with the
okay, but John Cena used to do the FU, and now they call it the AA.
Yeah, they changed the name.
Right, so they could have just changed the name of the curb stomp to
the way it looks,
slam your head down.
See him. He thought of said Vince said when he's going on Good Morning America, and they're going to show highlights of him winning matches. Kids are going to see the curb stomp and want to imitate it, basically.
All right.
And you mess up that, you're losing some teeth.
All right. So, listeners, we have just given you a taste of what you can find every week on the Smart Marks, minus, you know, our whore mouse talking. I didn't quite know how to phrase that.
I was waiting for you to, like, your whore
mouse. I like
mouse.
That.
Like, what?
Whore mouse.
Our whore mouse. But let's go ahead and close out the show. let's do some housekeeping. How about that? Provergamer.com is looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news boards, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to provergamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our articles and all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, they can be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proving Gamer. And starting next week, you're going to be able to watch all of the Smart Marks on our Proving Gamer YouTube page. They, you guys do your shows live, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir.
So, what time is that?
Permitting, yes.
Permitting.
It's a 10 Eastern every Wednesday night.
10 Eastern, okay.
10 Eastern, don't say.
Uh-oh. Sounds like you're going to get in, a nice invasion.
Wednesday Night Wars.
The Wednesday Night Wars. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. First, you can call us at our phone number. Mark, what's the phone number?
867-5309.
330-PROVEN-9. That's 330-776-8369. I'll write that down. Yeah, you might want to write that down because now it's your spot to do that.
It's not in the show notes.
Tommy Two-Tone.
You can send us an email, trophyhorse@provengamer.com. You can contact us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at trophyhorse. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. You can contact Alex at Saunders Horse Rex after Extra Life. You can contact Mark at @D_IonVain. And Jeremy, how can they find you on Twitter?
JVader82.
And Matt?
Mateo83.
Okay, you might have to spell that out for people.
M-A-T-E-O, and the number is 8-3.
All right. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it, but be sure to check out our other podcast. I almost said PG Spoilers. Remember the Loop and the Smart Marks, which is now found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Yes.
So be sure to subscribe to those feeds. You can also interact with us in our PlayStation 4 communities. There is the Proven Gamer, PlayStation 4 community. There's the Trophy Horse community, named the T-Dubs Brothel, because, Shuhei still won't let me, write whores on the PlayStation communities. There is Yield's community, the Platinum Guild. Do you guys have a PlayStation 4 community for the Smart Marks?
No, we don't.
You might want to.
That sounds like a great idea.
Sounds like a good idea. Maybe before this show comes out, there will be one, right?
Right. There you go.
Definitely work. Yes, sir. Yes.
That is going to bring us to the end of our housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. This is going to be interesting. Alex, tell us about Extra Life.
So Extra Life is an annual gaming charity event run to benefit the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. It's on November 5th this year, and essentially what you're going to do is you're going to play video games for 25 hours. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Of course, you're going to take regular breaks because we don't want you sitting there for 25 hours and not eating, showering, or, you know, using the restroom. But what you do is you're going to start off by going to the website. That's extra-life.org. Again, that's extra-life.org. And you're going to sign up to play. You're either going to create your own team, you're going to sign up to play solo, or you're going to join a team. And from there, you're going to pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital to represent. You can pick any Children's Miracle Network hospital, be it in your hometown, where you live, or, you know, wherever. And then you're going to get donations. You're going to get sponsorships. It can be $1 an hour, $2 an hour, $25 for the entire day. Anything that people are comfortable donating. Friends, family, coworkers. And then you play on November 5th. Mark it down on your calendars. You're going to play games for 25 hours. And all the most important thing, and we can't mention this enough, is that all the money that you – all the donations and sponsorships you collect, 100% of that money is going to go to the children's hospital that you've chosen to represent. So it's a fantastic way to do something you enjoy but also help out other people. And there's really nothing better than that. So November 5th, Extra Life 2016.
All right. Our next sponsor is GoFundMe. We are trying to raise some money for some new podcasting equipment. If you can go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer and donate, by the end of this, time this episode's released, there will be new, donation levels with some new prizes. I slacked off. I didn't do it last week, but, I will update the, donation levels to give out prizes. And that will all be done, so I don't want to say what it is right now, because I honestly, I don't know what they're going to be right now. And our last sponsor, once we get all our podcast and money, where are we going to go buy that equipment, Mark?
Amazon. I answered your question. I know what you're expecting of me.
I know.
It's not going to happen.
I know.
I have bass in my voice, okay? I cannot physically make my voice that high. I tried to practice. It hurt. Can't do it.
Can't. Well, it seems like 12. For a long time here, Donnie hasn't been able to get his voice that high either, so.
All right.
12 years smoking, but I can explain Amazon to you.
Oh no! I got the explanation. Alice, can you give us a Donnie send off Amazon?
Really? You're gonna make me do it, Tricky? I cannot believe you're putting me on that Amazon.
Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon.
I can't That's go very high either.
That's why I didn't do it. Yeah, it would have sounded worse than that. It would have sounded like a hybrid of like that and like punching a small woodland creature.
Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you couldn't, would each and every time you do your shopping on Amazon, stop by Proving Gamer first. Click on any Amazon link and continue to normal shopping. It doesn't cost you any of the extra and does help out the site tremendously. Before we move into our shout-outs, it's only proper to let Jeremy and Matt fully tell you about the Smart Marks and how you can get involved with talking to them. And, gentlemen, the floor is yours. Tell us all about your show.
Well, Smart Marks. Hey, guys, every week we talk about wrestling, what we love about it. Mainly, we try not to complain about it because, you know, we love wrestling, and that's what we're here for. If you want to ask questions or be involved in the show, you can tweet us at smart_marks. You can also find us on Facebook at the Smart Marks Podcast. Look for the mask on the album art. That's what we call it. Do that. We're also on Instagram, Smart Marks Podcast, all that fun stuff. If you want to email us your questions because you don't have social media and you live in a cave, smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Hey, Jeremy, that email?
smartmarksquestions@gmail.com.
There we go.
You could also send them an email at smartmarks@provinggamer.com.
Yes, that too. I'm still working that outro out.
No, it's fine. I want to make sure that you guys know you have a Proving Gamer email too.
Oh, I have it. It's logged in.
You just keep forgetting to use it, huh? It's all good.
Oh yeah.
All right, so fellas, you all have a new follower on Instagram.
Yeah, I just did the same. I was like, yeah, let's see what this is all about.
Amazing.
Also, why don't we have a Trophy Horse Instagram page? Should I start that?
You know what? You have my full support to start an Instagram page. Tricky is not on Instagram.
Well, I am. So.
Well, I'm happy for you. So by the time you're hearing this, there will be a Trophy Horse Instagram.
Sure. Yes, I will. I will start that up.
All right, let's close out the show with some shout outs. Let's start with Alex, Mr. Instagram himself. Who you want to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to the listeners. As always, thank you all for listening and spending some time with us every week. We appreciate you all very much. I always call you guys the fuel to this fire that is Trophy Horse, and it's true. Without you all, we don't enjoy doing this as much, and really, we're just four friends just talking to each other over the Skype. So we appreciate you all, and we definitely want you all to know that. I will say, though, more fan interaction. Write us, call us in, just whatever you want to do. Just interact with us. Let us know what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, what you think of Tricky smoking on the show. Write in and let us know.
Outing you left and right.
I also want to give a shout-out, of course, to our newest Trophy Whore officially. Ion Vane, Lucia, Mark, whatever we choose to call him. Fuck it, I'm just gonna call him Lucia. I like the whole last name thing. Give a shout out, of course, to Yield, who couldn't be here with us tonight. A shout out to Jeremy and Matt, the Smart Marks. Welcome to Proven Gamer. Can't wait to hear what you guys bring to the website with the Smart Marks podcast. I do want to give a shout out to Donnie, because again, Donnie put in a lot of work on Trophy Horse, editing as well as recording. So Donnie was a big part of the show. He obviously was the longest tenured member aside from Tricky. So I do want to give Donnie a shout out for always showing up to record, except for here and there, and just really putting a lot of effort behind the show. And again, once we figure out what he's doing with whatever talk, where it's going to be, we'll let you know. And my last shout out, you may have heard the bumper that was attached to last week's show. It'll be attached to this one as well at the beginning. My friend, Avalon, she is the founder of Derby City Consent. And on September 16th here in Louisville at the on Barrett Avenue at Gallery K, she's going to be holding an art gallery for her art project, the Survivor Modeling Project titled This Is My Body, which will feature models, sexual assault survivors. And she will be selling the art gallery. The pictures in a magazine form, and all the profits from the magazine sales will be going to the first rape crisis center here in Louisville, which is the Center for Women and Families. So again, it's September 16th. It'll be at Gallery K on Barrett Avenue in Louisville. It runs from 4:45 until 10 p.m. And I would love to see some of you all there. Some Trophy Wars listeners, some Premium Gamer fans. I would definitely love to see you all there. So if you have any questions about it, you can email me. My email is raisehavoc1@gmail.com. It's raisehavoc1@gmail.com. Derby City Consent also has a Facebook page. You can go on there and look at all the latest events and gatherings. And it'll also have more information on the art gallery. And if you're out of the state and you want to help, Avalon has set up a PayPal account. It is on the Facebook page. I'll give you the address here just in case. It's paypal.me/DerbyCityConsent. It's DerbyCityConsent. So if you live out of the state, if you can't make it to the art gallery and you want to help, that's a good way to help. I've donated myself. I know where the money goes. It's being put to good use. So if you do want to donate, that is a way that you can help if you can't go to the show. So those are my shout outs.
All right. We got breaking news as far as your friend's event, Alex.
Yes.
I'm assuming you're going, correct?
I'd be kind of a dick to sit here and advertise it and not go to the event. Yes, I will be at Avalon's event.
How awesome would it be if there was two Trophy Horse hosts at that event?
I'm getting flown out. Awesome.
That would be awesome. Even better if there were four.
Breaking news, I will be there.
Nice. So you can meet both Tricky and I. I mean, it'd probably be better if you could meet Yield and Lucia, or even Smart Marks, but you gotta just put up
Lucia. Lucia's gotten all California on us.
Hollywood now, I got the Miz's persona.
Yeah, well, Miz, why don't you do your shout-outs there, buddy?
Well, actually, I have some legit shout-outs, but I'm gonna do, like, the stereotypical ones. Like, once again, I guess, well, I was gonna do the whole, like, thanks for having me as a guest this week, but thanks for making me a permanent whore now. Okay, that sounded weird. That didn't sound any better. But no, I'm glad to be now on the podcast, like, regular. No more polls asking if I should. And that's about it. And then also, shout out to Carnitas Snack Shack for hooking me up with some delicious pork belly on top of a salad for lunch today. It was amazing. I'm going to go back for dinner. Just saying.
Matt, your
thanks for all the listeners.
Matt, your shout outs.
I just want to give a big shout out, big thanks to the whole Proven Gamer family. You guys are amazing. Thanks for, you know, having us join the team here. Really looking forward to what's going on in the future, being involved with you guys doing this. Hey, big shout out to our number one fan out there, Alex, here in Roswell, New Mexico. You can find him at Jag_Meister1980. The dude has been like our number one supporter since episode one, and he's been on a few of the shows. He was on our SummerSlam episode, our SummerSlam preview episode. So I just want to give him a big shout out because that dude's like, he's done everything just to support us and help us get more listeners. So thanks to him, and thanks to you guys, and thanks to Jeremy for still being my co-host because I dog on him a lot.
I got thick skin. Thick skin.
All right. You have thick skin, but do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, definitely. Again, like Matt said, shout out to you guys. Thank you for the warm welcome into the Proven Gamer family. Absolutely loved being on Trophy Horrors with you guys this week. I am a fan of Trophy Horrors. I've listened to it. We actually, big shout out to Troy or NM Rain, who's been on the show with you guys before. He's one who helped us get introduced to you guys. So definitely big thank yous to him. Like Matt said, big shout outs to Alex and we mentioned it earlier in the show, Miguel Martinez for repping the Smart Marks at SummerSlam and WrestleMania this year, man. So just big shout out and thank you to all of our fans and our new home at Proven Gamer.
All right. And for anybody that's looking for past episodes of the Smart Marks, I am currently trying to get them all transferred over to Proving Gamer, so they will slowly appear on the feed. There's no timetable for it, but I am slowly working back. I'm working from current episodes all the way back to episode one, which I guess is kind of stupid. I should go from one up, but it's just the way it's working. It's just making it easier for me. My shout-out's going to be quick. I want to give a shout-out to all the listeners. Give a shout-out to my Horizon Brothers. A shout-out to Smart Marks. But I'm gonna close this out by saying I want to give a shout out to Donnie. Donnie, I know you're listening, buddy. 270 episodes we've done together. I cannot imagine taking this ride without you. You have definitely gotten Trophy Horse to where it's been and where it's going to go. And it, you know, we fight like cats and dogs, and, you know, we butt heads a lot, but I truly love you like a brother. And I wish you the best in the future, and you are welcome back anytime, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same way. You know, that's how I'm going to end the show. So until next week, guys, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
Yeah, that's it.
She's out.
Check it.
Oh,
check it. You done made it to another one.
Replay.
Oh, download another one.
Continue your horno.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it just to get the ray and leave a comment. And thanks for getting listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.